Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters. This is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life, assuring you of my prayers and blessings and that of all our Priests for Life team on this holy day. It is the Feast of Feasts. It is the day when Christians welcome Christ and proclaim him to the world, that a Savior is born for us. And I wanted to spend a few minutes with you this morning, reflecting on the deep meaning of Christmas and its challenge to welcome Christ and to welcome all his people, all those whom he came to save. We read in the Gospel of Christmas Midnight the following words, that the shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And here's what the angel said: "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord." Brothers and sisters, this Savior is born for you, even if you may feel very far away from him. This Savior has come for you, even if you have been running away from him. The good news that the angels announced to the shepherds, and through them to us, is that this Savior has come not because of any merit of ours. He has not come to us only if we are good. It's not like with the coming of Santa Claus that he checks the list, naughty and nice, and only gives the presents to those that are nice. The Savior goes further. The Savior goes deeper. The Savior comes not because of anything we have done. He comes precisely because of what he has chosen to do, and that is to create us, to love us, and to save us. He comes not because we have merited him. He comes because he has decided to make us worthy of himself. He has decided to adopt us as his sons and daughters. And that's why the angel said, this is good news for all the people. Not just all the people there in Bethlehem at that time, not even just all the people in the whole world at that time. The Lord comes for all the people, every person from Adam and Eve down to the last person that will ever be created at the end of history. He comes for you. He comes for those who are close to him, for those who are far away, for those who are saints, for those who are sinners, for those who think that they are not worthy of him, for those who think about him, who never think about him. He has come for us all. Furthermore, the one who has come is God. You know, for centuries, God foretold the coming of the Messiah. Now, Messiah means anointed one. If you read through the Old Testament, you see that priests and prophets and kings, all of whom were given special missions by God, were strengthened for those missions by an anointing with oil. It symbolized the mission itself and the strength they had to carry it out. God said he would send his Messiah. Now, if you say Messiah, which is a Hebrew word, in Greek, it's Christ. He would send the anointed one, the Christ, with the most important mission of all, to save his people from their sins, from the power of death, to reconcile them with God. But when the angels announced the Christmas message on Christmas night, they didn't simply say that this child who was born was the Messiah of the Lord, as had been foretold. They said, this is the Messiah and Lord. In other words, the Lord didn't just send somebody. He came himself. Christmas is the revelation of God. Christmas is God manifesting himself, the invisible God making himself visible. Now he had sent many signs and spoken in many ways in the past, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us. Through the prophets he spoke through historical events. There were even various visions and times when people saw messengers from God, but never did anything like this happen. That the invisible, eternal God who fills the universe would become visible in such a way that people could see, touch, hear, and understand him, and say that every action of this person, every word of this person, are the actions and the words of God himself. That is this child who is born. It is God in the flesh. We see, again, in the Christmas readings for the Mass during the day, let me read this from the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings glad tidings. Hark, your sentinels raise a cry. Together they shout for joy, for they see directly before their eyes the Lord restoring Zion. Consider those words. They see the Lord restoring Zion directly before their eyes. This restoration, this salvation promised from the very beginning of history, to set us free from sin and from Satan and from death and from hell, is not something that God just does spiritually. He doesn't do it in just some kind of vague way. He does it in a way we can see and hear and touch and understand. In this child born in Bethlehem, God has come to you and me. He speaks to you and me, and he embraces you and me and all the people. He becomes very specific. Many people believe in God. They know he's out there. But they're not sure what he thinks of them. They know he exists, but they're not sure if he likes them. They know he's all powerful, but they don't know if he's on their side. They know that he can do all things, but they're not sure if he's willing to do anything for them. They know that he knows everything, but they're not sure that he cares about their problems. Christmas answers all these questions. He is with us. He does love us. He knows us. Not only does he care about our problems, but he brings a solution. He saves us in Jesus Christ. He's very specific. So that now Christmas answers many, many questions about who God is, what he's like, how he wants us to live, what happens after this life. Many people ask these questions, but in Christmas we have the answers. Because we don't just welcome a baby at Christmas. We welcome Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, a Jesus who will grow up, who will start to speak and to teach and to preach, who will do specific things to tell us and show us how to have eternal life, how to put our faith in him. He will give us sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. He will give us his teachings. He will establish his community, his church. We have at Christmas, therefore, all of the things that Jesus brings us. And on Christmas Day, therefore, in welcoming the child, we make a commitment, we need to make a commitment to welcome the whole Christ. See, this is not only the blessing of Christmas, receiving the gift. This is the challenge of Christmas, opening the gift. Are we going to read the words of Jesus? Are we simply going to say, oh, isn't this great that the child was born? No, that's not enough. We have to say, isn't this great that the child was born? He came from me. I welcome him. Therefore, I need to read what he said in his word. I need to open up those gospels and read what Jesus said. I need to understand more about what he did. If we rejoice that he came, let's rejoice in what he did when he came. All the activities during the course of his mission, all the things he asked us to do, told us to pay attention to, the conditions of discipleship that he laid out for us. There's so much to learn. And that's why, brothers and sisters, the best way of celebrating Christmas is to commit ourselves to get to know Jesus and his teachings better. The teachings of his word, the teachings of his church, the teachings of his gospel, to get to know those teachings better is a commitment we need to make as we welcome that child born in Bethlehem. The Christ who comes therefore gives us the challenge and the ability to change. Because at the beginning of all his teachings is the word repent. We welcome the Lord God, who comes in a very specific way with a very specific message and answers very specific questions. And therefore, we have to be ready for that welcome by taking out of our lives all the things that push him away, that offend him, all the sins. This again we hear in the Christmas readings. Let me read from that letter to Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all. And now listen to this, because here's the challenge of Christmas. And training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age. Christmas brings a way of life. God doesn't simply tell us to be good people. Christmas makes us new people. You know why we exchange gifts on Christmas? Because God has undertaken an exchange of gifts with us through an exchange of natures. What do I mean? In Jesus Christ, God, who always existed, becomes human. He takes our humanity upon himself. But why? Part two of that story is he wants to give us, who are already human, a share in his divinity. Peter says in the scriptures, you have become partakers of the divine nature. We have human life. He wants us to give us a share in his divine life. And that's the exchange. That's the exchange of Christmas gifts. We give our humanity to God. He gives his divinity to us, so that he is both divine and human, and we, remaining human, even we have a share in divine life. We become sons and daughters of God. That's what happens when we embrace Jesus Christ with faith, when we are baptized in his name. Brothers and sisters, this making us new people trains us, as the reading said, Paul to Titus, he said, we reject godless ways. We have to take on a whole new way of life as a result of Christmas. This is the beginning of a new humanity. This is a new power to live in a way that pleases God. And one of the very specific ways that we welcome this child, live out his teachings, and live as the new people that he now creates us to be, is that we welcome everyone he welcomes. Remember, as I said at the outset of these reflections, the message is for all the people. The Savior is for all the people. He draws all humanity to himself. He unites all humanity in himself. He came as a baby to make it clear to people that they don't have to be afraid to approach him. He's very approachable. He doesn't want us to be afraid to come to him. No matter whether we are powerful or weak, significant, or in the eyes of the world, insignificant, we can all come to him. And when we welcome him, therefore, we welcome all the others that he welcomes. To welcome the whole Christ means to welcome all those he loves, all those he saves, all those that he has made. There is all humanity there in the manger. There's just one human nature. So whether we lived a long time ago or will live a long time in the future, whatever differences there are among us, we all have the same human nature. And that's why in coming at Christmas, Jesus Christ says to us, look at me and you will see the reflection, the perfect reflection of God the Father. And then he says, look at me and you will also see the reflection of all your brothers and sisters. I have come to join humanity to God. And if all humanity now is joined to God, we are joined to each other. We can't welcome the Christ who comes and then reject human life. We will not be able to adequately celebrate Christmas If we maintain in our hearts attitudes of rejection or exclusion, prejudice or discrimination, hatred, or this attitude that some people are more valuable than others, throughout human history, that mistake has been made in various different ways. When entire peoples have been targeted for destruction, when racism and prejudice and exclusion and segregation have taken hold and manifested their ugly head in so many different ways throughout history, when people have taken it upon themselves to define other people out of existence, this is the source of genocide throughout history and holocausts. And brothers and sisters, Christmas destroys all that. That's why in the hymn, O Holy Night, we sing these words. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And in his name, all oppression shall cease. The abolitionists loved that verse of that hymn and used it to show the connection between Christmas and the struggle that they were undertaking to free the slaves who are their brothers and sisters, who are our brothers and sisters. In his Christmas sermon, the last Christmas sermon of his life, Martin Luther King Jr. and his niece Alvita works with us at Priests for Life, said that when we believe in the coming of Jesus and the reality of peace on earth, we have to think that that means recognizing the dignity, the sanctity of life. And when we recognize that each person is sacred, made and called and loved by God, we won't oppress anybody, he said. We won't kill anybody. And the challenge here is that word anybody, any kind of violence, contradicts the coming of Christ. John Paul II, in his document, The Gospel of Life, said that a rejection of even a single human life is a rejection of Christ. Just the opposite of Christmas. Christmas is about welcoming Christ. Rejecting a human life rejects Christ. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we have to turn our thoughts today to all those who are vulnerable, all those human lives who are in danger, all those whose rights are not respected and protected. The church gives a very clear message on Christmas that this is about all humanity. And we have to turn our minds to those who are most vulnerable of all, the children in the first 9 months of their existence, the children still living and growing in their mother's wombs. They are the most vulnerable people. Not only can they not defend themselves in any way, they don't even know that they're in danger and they cannot even pray because they haven't learned how to pray yet. The children in the womb, furthermore, are the ones most victimized because the act of violence in our world that takes more human life than anything else is the act of violence called abortion. Children living in the womb are literally torn apart by this procedure that happens, well, in the United States, it happens a few thousand times every day, a million times a year. The brothers and sisters of ours who are most in need of welcome and protection are the children in the first 9 months of their life. That's why I've dedicated my life and ministry to ending abortion, to restoring protection to these children, and so many other people work in this effort as well, the pro-life movement. I'm speaking to many of you who know and follow our work already, but I'm also speaking today to some of you for the first time, and I want you to be aware of this great movement, the pro-life movement, and of our role in it. Our organization, Priests for Life, is one of the largest pro-life groups, and you can find out more about us at endabortion.us. Endabortion.us. Our message is that there is nothing more urgent and more important than defending the right to life. Because without the right to life, we have no other rights. You kill a baby in the womb, you've deprived her of her education and her health care and her rights to grow up and to work and to vote and to emigrate to different countries. or to do anything. We can't exercise or possess any human rights without the foundation, the right to life, being secure. And as I mentioned, nothing takes more human life than abortion. No crime or disease, no natural disaster or war, nothing at all claims more lives than abortion. So today, when we welcome a child, let's remember to welcome every child. When we welcome Christ, let's accept all that he taught, including the dignity of each human person, the need for justice, the need for to speak up for the vulnerable. And let's find a way, each of us, because we're all needed in this great pro-life movement, let's find a way to commit ourselves to defending these children. Come and connect with us at endabortion.us, and you'll find a way to speak up and to work to defend these children within your own means and your own abilities and your own commitments. Brothers and sisters, Christmas is today, but it doesn't end today, because the one who comes is with us every day. He wants us to open our Christmas gift, to get to know him better, and to participate in carrying out his work in the world. Let's make that our Christmas and New Year's resolution. Let's make that our joyful commitment today. I wish you a very Merry Christmas, and my final thought with you today here is this: that the wish Merry Christmas that we are all saying to one another today doesn't mean that everything is going your way. Doesn't mean that things are all the way they're supposed to be in your life. Doesn't mean that there aren't causes for concern and even for sadness. What it means is that no matter what we have lost or are at risk of losing, no matter what problems there are or might come, no matter what is falling apart around us, we have access to God. Thanks to Christmas, we know who he is. We know how to find him. We know he's on our side. We know what we need to do. And we know we cannot lose him. Only if we decide to reject him is he out of reach. But if we want him, if we say, "Yes, Lord, I welcome you," nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's Merry Christmas. That even if everything is against us, he's for us. Even if everything is falling apart, he holds us together. Even if our life itself is threatened, he is our life. And nothing can change that. That's why we're happy. That's why we are merry. That's why today is our feast of joy. So let's pray. Jesus, we do welcome you today. You are God in human language. You are the Savior for all the people. You are Messiah and Lord. You are the one who asks us to welcome not only you as a child, but you as a preacher, you as the founder of the church, you as the author of the Gospels. We ask you, Lord, help us to welcome you, the one who will come again to raise the dead and to judge the living and the dead. Help us to welcome all of you, and help us to welcome all those that you welcome, O Lord. Help us to bring an end to all oppression and to recognize your face in every human life, to rejoice as we rejoice at your birth, in the birth of every child. Help us to work for justice and to secure the right to life and to end the violence of abortion. Lord, come and be born in us today and give us life eternal. We pray in your mighty name. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. To you, your family, for all your intentions, and for all that you need, I ask now the Lord to bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you'd like to give us your Christmas prayer intentions, take a moment today to go to prayerintentions.org. It's a special website. You can use it throughout the year, at which you can tell us what you would like us to pray for you, for your intentions, your loved ones, your need. Prayerintentions.org. We want to lift those intentions up in our Christmas prayers today, in our masses, and throughout the year. Thanks for watching. Please spread this video and have a very Merry Christmas.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.